Hello, Susie Wiles.
Hello.
Where are we starting today, please?
Let's start with 1080. Let's just get it out of the way.
Is this the dead rats? Some excellent. I think it's Newsroom actually that's really hot on the. I was going to say hot on the tail of this.
Yeah, Newsroom and Spinoff. Yeah, Spinoff have done because of the style of the Spinoff, they can also be quite snarky with their responses. So they've done some great pieces too.
It comes down to a lab that won't identify itself. Look, you pick up. You go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Also, basically, just to summarise, really, it's this. You know, hundreds of dead rats and a few other creatures washed up in a West Coast beach a little while ago. But it was about 140 k's away from where an aerial 1080 drop had taken place. Obviously, there's a concern, all these dead animals. So several of them got tested by Manaaki Whenua, which is also known as Landcare Research. And it's one of our Crown Research Institutes and a place that is basically accredited, approved to do the testing for 1080. And the way they do that is they look for traces of fluoroacetate, which is basically the toxic component of 1080. And they looked in mussels and stomachs, and they basically found of these dead animals, and they found none. So, end of story, not 1080. Not the end of the story, because, of course, I guess an anti-1080 group called Flora and Fauna of Aotearoa apparently commissioned their own tests. And then they've come back saying that there's overwhelming amounts of 1080 in these animals. And it's just this incredible example of how what you test for, where you test it, how you test it is so important. And why this, when it comes to things like wanting to know an answer, why there are these accredited labs where they lay out how they're going to test things, and that all gets approved and said, yes, this is the appropriate way. We will believe your results. So I guess a really quick intro if people don't know how 1080 actually works. So this fluoroacetate enters the body and it gets incorporated into this really important biochemical pathway in our bodies, which everyone probably will remember from school, called the citric acid cycle or the Krebs cycle. And essentially it takes things in, carbohydrates and various other things, and then converts them into energy, ATP. And that's really, really important. And what happens with the fluoroacetate is it gets incorporated into the cycle, so it goes into the cycle, but it then basically inhibits one of the main enzymes in the cycle, and so you don't get energy produced. In fact, it makes this thing called fluorocitrate, and that's what inhibits this one of these enzymes, and so the cycle stops, you don't get energy production, death. And so you can look for this 1080 poisoning either by looking for the fluoroacetate, so the thing that is the poison, or you can look for the fluorocitrate, which is this product that gets made. But the fluorocitrate will only be found in places where this Krebs cycle takes place, which is like the liver and the muscles. So what this group have reported is basically that they have gone to a lab that they won't name, and they have results for some rats who've had their at least their stomachs looked at. This lab, I'm going to put that in converted commas, have looked for fluoroacetate and fluorocitrate, so the thing, the poison, and then the byproduct, and they have found the most phenomenal amounts of these chemicals, apparently. And they've also found them in the stomach, which is really interesting because this is not somewhere where you'd expect this fluorocitrate to be made. And so the LD50, which is basically the dose that's required to kill half of the animals. So this is something that when a chemical is being studied, you work out it's LD50. And it's in adult rats, it's 1.2 milligrams per kilogram. In one of these rats, they claim to have found 38 milligrams per kilogram, which is just like so much more toxin than actually kills an animal. It would be astonishing if it had managed to eat that. But not only that, in that particular rat, they've found 415 milligrams of this fluorocitrate, which is the byproduct, which you would not expect to be present in larger amounts than the actual toxin itself. So it's just phenomenal. And it's kind of really interesting that, they won't release the name of the lab. They keep saying that it's all legitimate. Everything just seems to be completely out of whack. And it's really sad, I guess, that the lens that people go to. So you're kind of left wondering, have the people done any tests, and are they essentially putting themselves out there as people who could do tests, but they're basically they can't and they're lying.
Is it normal to peer review between labs if there are questions?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why you you would reveal your method, right?
Yeah, right.
When you because you can go, oh, especially if they come out so so unexpected, you go, well, how did you do that? Right?
I think the other thing is everyone wants to know what killed the rats, and will we ever get to the bottom of that?
Well, there's been lots of theories put forward. This seems like the most promising one at the moment is that because of the recent, you know, like there was all it was a big mast year, so there were lots of beech seeds and everything. So there would have been, you would expect to be a large population of an explosion of population of rats. They think that maybe there was a flash flood that basically washed them all out of their dens, because there were so many more of them, they would have been in kind of precarious dens, and that's basically how they've ended up there. So kind
drowning,
of
probably.
Drowning, yes.
All right.
Drowning.
Let's look at the new class of antibiotics. Goodness, we are on the lookout for them.
I know.
Go ahead.
There's so many exciting things about the story. So have I ever told you the story of Angel's Glow?
I don't think so. You love glow things. So
I do love glow things. So
tell me about this one.
So this Photorhabdus is this family of bacteria, and they live in the gut of microscopic worms. And together, they are the most incredible partnership that basically kill insects. So the nematodes burrow their way into the like caterpillars and stuff, and then they vomit up this bacteria that's in their gut, and that bacteria produces toxins that really quickly kill this larva. And then they basically feed on this kind of dead, there's this dead insect, this worm undergoes its sort of sexual reproduction, and then it kind of ends up leaving the dead insect in search of another insect, still with its bacteria in its gut. And so this Photorhabdus, they get their name, this bacteria gets its name, because they glow in the dark. And so what you end up with is these little dead caterpillars kind of glowing eerily. We're not really quite sure why. but the other thing about the story is that there are, so these bacteria and these worms live in the soil. And there are stories going back to something like the Crimean War or the American Civil War of soldiers that had glowing wounds. And if they had glowing wounds, they were much more likely to survive their injuries. And they called it Angel's Glow. And it's thought that actually it was because of this Photorhabdus that's in the soil. One of the things they also do when they're inside this dead caterpillar is they produce antibiotics to stop other bacteria from sort of, you know, taking advantage of the soup of nutrients. And so they figure that maybe these soldiers had this Photorhabdus in their wounds, and it was producing antibiotics, and that's why they survived, whereas soldiers without glowing wounds didn't have this natural antibiotic being produced and so would die. And so I thought that the story of Photorhabdus and its antibiotics had been completely sorted out. Like, we know what antibiotics it produces. But this group have just found that they produce a completely new class of antibiotics that have got a really unique structure. They're called the darobactins. And what's really, really important about them is that almost every other antibiotic that has been discovered over the last couple of years works against what we call gram-positive bacteria. And while they are bad, they're not the most scary bacteria that we're worried about at the moment are the gram-negatives, and they're the ones that are becoming untreatable. And this one acts against the gram-negatives, and it is very, 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 very cool. And so now the question is whether you could turn that into an actual antibiotic that would treat people, which is kind of where the next steps for this research
goes. How long does that normally take to get from promise to something you can actually use?
So 10 to 15 years.
Right.
I mean, with how scary the future is, hopefully, I don't know, maybe they could come up with ways that it could be shortened. And it may well be, like, for tuberculosis, there are very difficult to treat strains of tuberculosis. And so in that case where somebody's likely to die, there's sort of like a dispensation where
you can use things.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have to be shown to be kind of vaguely safe. So it may well be that you can speed up things for when, you know, dire need.
You have 1 minute to tell us why we freeze when startled.
This is so cool. So basically, using fruit flies, researchers have discovered that when we get startled, really fruit flies release a surge of serotonin into their brains, and that basically, they think, locks their kind of leg muscles in place, stops them, which is presumably when they're kind of like, okay, what am I fleeing from, or what's the thing, and then that then allows them to move off and do whatever the response is. And they did this by putting them in the dark or simulating an earthquake for a fruit fly. As you do, scientists do.
I didn't know whether an earthquake would upset a fruit fly, whether they'd notice. Clearly they did.
They do.
That makes sense. So the serotonin is just to hold you in place while you actually think, presumably, about what to do next.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, Susie, very much. Susie Wiles, science commentator. That's 9 to noon for Wednesday.